We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Mike 11. We are at the McHale Media Center right after Paul Rhodes was introduced as Arizona's defensive coordinator. Yes, the wait is over with. Arizona finally has a new DC. Paul Rhodes, former Iowa State head coach, and most recently the UCLA defensive backs head coach. Lev, an interesting hire. It kind of seems out of left field because out of all the names that could have came up, Paul Rhodes definitely wasn't on the radar. What do you think about this hire?
Yeah, it's interesting. He wasn't on anybody's list, you know, that I saw, which doesn't really mean anything. Sure. I think I've told this story before, but when USC had a basketball opening way back when, after they moved on from Tim Floyd, I think I put together a list of 20 potential coaching candidates, and it wasn't any of the 20. So, you know, those lists are they're fun, but they usually don't have a lot of substance behind them. Paul Rhodes has a really good resume. As you mentioned, he was the head coach at Iowa State for 7 years. Before that, he was the defensive coordinator at Pitt for 8 years. He served as an interim head coach at Arkansas for a bit. He was most recently at UCLA. He recruited the state of Arizona for UCLA, which I think is kind of significant.
It's huge.
There's a lot of talk today about how important that is for this school to land some of those guys from within the state. You know, there's a prospect who's still out there, Jason Harris, who recently visited UCLA. One can imagine that there's probably a connection between Paul Rhodes and Jason Harris, who's someone that Arizona really wants to go after. What I liked about Paul when we talked to him a little bit ago is what he's emphasizing here. And it was tackling. It was fundamentals. It was playing hard. Tenacity. He was really talking about tackling a lot. And that is something that's declined across all levels of football, I would say, because there's less contact in practice, right? I mean, there's just not as much tackling that's done, and I guess he has some ideas about how they can do that, and I think that's a great idea because no matter who the coach is here, head coach or defensive coordinator, I mean, they're not going to get 5 stars.
No.
At Arizona. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You're probably still going to get 3 stars to fill up most of your class, maybe a handful of 4 stars. So you have to get the most out of those players, and it sounds like he has some idea of how to do that.
Absolutely. You know, he came in wearing the Arizona polo. He was at the press conference. Kevin Sumlin introduced him. And I haven't seen him on the sidelines, but from what I could tell, he seems like a pretty fired up guy, a very passionate coach, a coach that connects with players and gets the most out of them. And that's something that you definitely want as a defensive coordinator. Not saying that Marcel Yates didn't do that, but it gives Arizona a new look as a guy who's overseeing the entire defense. And a lot of people don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Paul Rhodes. Like the generic college football fan has no idea who Paul Rhodes is, but you look at his credentials, Lev. I mean, you got to be very impressed. I know when he was at Pitt, he coached Darrell Revis, who ended up becoming one of the top defensive backs in college football. And you all know what he did in the NFL. Then he came over here to UCLA. And that's one thing that's a turnoff because people start to do some research on him. Most notably, this past season, how many passing yards did Grant Gunnell have on UCLA's defense?
A lot. UCLA,
352, you know?
Yeah, but he wasn't the coordinator, you know?
Sure.
There's only so much influence that you have as an assistant coach. He's obviously going to have more influence now. What I like about his background is where he coached. head coach at Iowa State, would you say that – I know Iowa State's been really good lately, but all things being equal, isn't Iowa State about on the same plane as Arizona as far as where they fit into the pecking order within their conference?
In their conference, yeah, absolutely. And, so, and I would say it's even worse for Iowa State because Arizona, ASU, they kind of go neck and neck in football in terms of overall, I guess, prominence in that state.
You're probably going to give the edge to Iowa.
You're going to go with the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, probably so. But, you know, the point is he's getting – when he was working with those three-star type of players at Iowa State and trying to get the most out of them, you know, or trying to find diamonds in the rough. A lot – you know, we talk a lot about, you know, what makes a good recruiter. I think a lot of it is just being able to identify talent. Anyone can see who the best guys are. It's easy when your pool of players includes all the high 4-star guys and the 5-stars. I mean, those are slam dunks for the most part. It's the 2- and 3-star guys who maybe you see something in down the road that others aren't able to see. With all due respect to our colleagues who put together those rankings, I mean, do they really know who the 600th best player is in the country or the 900th best player in the country? You know, I thought it was interesting. I was asking Kevin Sumlin about Reagan Terry, one of their big recruits, and he said he's this year's Jordan Morgan. And I know they loved Jordan Morgan, and they were on him early, and then all of a sudden all these other schools started to come in late, including USC, and they won that battle for Morgan. They won that battle for Terry. They obviously see, you know, some long-range potential in him. They need coaches on this staff who can identify those guys and then develop those guys.
Well, and he compared Reagan Terry, like you said, Jordan Morgan. Well, Morgan, he doesn't have Twitter. I believe he doesn't even have Instagram or Facebook. Like, he is just completely off social media at all times. He doesn't have a social media account. So he was really hidden. Not a lot of people knew about him. I believe NAU was the first school to offer him. Then he committed to Arizona. And once you're a Power 5 team and you receive a commitment, people are going to start looking at some film. So you saw USC, you saw other schools come down and offer him. Clay Helton was at one of Jordan Morgan's games. Reagan Terry was a different case. Reagan Terry's on social media. He's more out there than Jordan Morgan was. And I think USC saw a weak spot in Arizona. Like, wow, this guy is committed to U of A, but they don't even have a defensive staff. Who's going to be the DC? Who's going to be the defensive line coach? So USC thought, okay, we're USC. We're going to come down here, and we're going to get this kid an offer. We're going to take him on a visit, and we're going to get him to flip. I think it shows a lot about Kevin Sumlin's message to recruit like Reagan Terry, and I also think it shows a lot about the state of USC football right now because they finished, dead last in the rankings?
Never thought I'd see the day.
And meanwhile, Oregon's getting all these 5-stars. It just seems – the state of recruiting in the Pac-12 just seems kind of ridiculous right now.
It's different than it was 5 years ago. Yeah. That's for sure, 10 years ago. Not to get off on a tangent too far, but USC, you can make the excuse that they didn't have a lot of players, but they had a class – I don't know when it was exactly. Someone cited it a few years ago that had about the same number of players. But, like, everyone in it was a 5-star or a 4-star.
Yeah.
I think they had 1 4-star.
Was the state of California.
Class. Yeah. Well, guys in California are leaving California. Guys in Arizona are leaving Arizona. I think another reason that Kevin Sumlin liked this idea of Paul Rhodes is that he was able to get some of those – or help get some of those Arizona guys to go to UCLA. They had four commits or 4 signees from the state who ended up with the Bruins, which I think is the most in the Pac-12. Arizona has 3. They're hoping that number increases to 4 if they can land Jason Harris.
Which leads me to believe, though, because, you know, Paul Rhodes and his ties in Arizona, when did he officially know that he was going to become Arizona's DC? Was it
Well, he
at
said
the
it
start
all happened over the last week or so.
But if it happened over the last week or so, wouldn't Paul Rhodes tell, you know, defensive guys that he was recruiting at UCLA, hey, this is what's going to happen?
Well, I think the reason that this wasn't announced until today is that there must have been an agreement in place with Paul and with UCLA that, you know what, this is the guy we want. We're going to wait out of courtesy until after, you know, most of the guys have signed so as to not, you know, blow up the Bruins recruiting class. Mm-hmm. All is fair in in Love and War. So you could make a case that maybe, you know, they should have moved on this earlier. Maybe they could have gotten some of those guys to flip. But this is the move that they made. And Kevin Sumlin was very clear. I asked him a couple different ways. He said they're going to add more players. And he said that the current allotment of 12 was about half of what they hoped to eventually procure. And I think that's essential. They don't have enough guys on defense in this class. He talked about the fronts being the priorities, but they don't have any linebackers who've signed. I think Jabbar Triplett is a fait accompli. Pending. That's going to happen. Someone who's committed and already been like sort of retweeting about Paul Rhodes and seems very excited. Well, there's one linebacker. I think they need at least three linebackers. They also need more safeties, which is this position that we all thought was deep and talented and really didn't perform that way in the field this past year.
Well, because Tristan Cooper?
Gone.
Gone?
Yep.
So who are the returning guys? Scotty Young, Christian Young.
Troy Young, maybe.
Troy Young. Jarius Wallace.
Jarius Wallace, no, he's got another year.
He's got another year left.
They also have Jackson Turner,
yeah,
who is a promising-looking freshman who got hurt this past year. I still think that Christian Roland Wallace's future might be at the safety position. It's possible one of these wide receivers that they bring in will end up there. I know that Major's his brother. Mayjean Wright, the receiver from Florida, also played some free safety. So we'll see. But they need to add guys. Regardless of who's coming back, they need more linebackers. They need more safeties. I'd say at least one other defensive lineman needs to be in the mix for this class to be complete. And I think they're going to mine the grad transfer and transfer portal markets more so than they have. I mean, there's a ton of guys out there. If you can't land a couple of them, I mean, I think you're doing something wrong.
Mm. Well, are there any UCLA guys that we know of for sure leaving?
Well, there's Theo Howard, but I don't think he's coming here.
Yeah.
From what I understand. I think there's a much better chance of them landing Brendan Schooler. And I think if I was Paul Rhodes, one of the first calls I would make would be to Colin Schooler and his family and be like, hey, you know, this is the type of defense we're going to run. These are our expectations from you. This is what I'm all about. Because if Colin's happy and decides to come back here, then there's a much better chance, I think, that Brendan's going to come too.
Well, excuse me. Paul said he's going to be reaching out to guys.
Yeah.
He said very, very few phone
calls.
One at a time. One at a time. Very few phone calls, though. So I think the
– Well, I think he said that I thought he meant like there's little that you can really get done over the phone.
Over a phone call.
You know.
But, I mean, think about some of the guys that he's going to call first. Colin Schooler's got to be number one. Jalen Harris has to be number two because
– Right.
And for many reasons. Because that's your star defensive end, right? A guy that can blossom into a guy that can be one of the better edge rushers in the Pac-12. At least he has the body and he's got potential to. And a part of that, too, his younger brother, Jason Harris, that you talked about. You need to get him on board to try to convince little bro to come down to Arizona.
Yeah, Jason Harris is supposed to announce at the Under Armour All-American game on January 2nd.
It's in less than 2 weeks.
So we'll see what happens. Do you think, Justin, that they're going to have a defensive line coach in place by then?
They need to, because that's another thing that's very important.
That's a key spot. I also wonder, it was not addressed during the press conference specifically, but is Chuck Cecil in the mix for the safeties coach?
Yeah.
Or is he going to go back to being an analyst? Or is he not going to be on staff at all?
Well, Rhodes,
don't know.
Well, Rhodes said it's not set in stone, but he's most likely going to be coordinating from the linebacker position.
Right.
That's why I said Colin Schooler, Tony Fields, those guys, and obviously Jason Harris, you know, you got to reach out to those guys first if that's what you're going to primarily focus on. But then you have Demetrius Martin, assuming he's coming back because – heck, he was out on the road recruiting. I saw all the – like Jeremy Springer, Demetrius Martin, they were all hanging out at the Arizona basketball game.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming he's still on staff.
I think that Demetrius Martin is an important guy because he might be their best recruiter among their assistants. I mean, he's their California guy. And as much as we talk about Texas, as much as we talk about recruiting within the state of Arizona, still very important that you get some of those prospects from the state of California. And he was the main guy for Christian Roland Wallace. He was the main guy for Keon Bars, who's a promising-looking defensive tackle prospect. for them. Alphonse Oiwak.
Oiwak, yeah.
The cornerback from Washington. That was Meat's guy who he committed. He has not signed yet. You know, hopefully for Arizona's sake, you know, Paul Rhodes will help solidify that decision for him, because from what I heard talking to people, he's maybe the best guy in this class. After the decommitment of Drake Dabney, the tight end, Alphonse is the guy that people seem to think, you know, has the star potential. And, you know, you add him, you add Kahari Crump to the existing group with Bobby Wolf and Lorenzo Burns and Christian Roland Wallace. That's not a bad looking group of cornerbacks right there. And if you have good corners, you can do a lot of things, as evidenced by Darrell Revis.
Yep.
You know, I think it was maybe, is that the first guy who had an island?
I think so.
Named after him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was like.
He literally had an island named after him?
Well, figuratively, you know. But I don't think that was the case at Pitt. That was more of a, like, when he was with the Jets. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Like, if you have good corners who can lock guys up, you're free to, you can devote more resources to the pass rush. You can devote more resources to the middle of the field, et cetera. So.
But, like, putting the pieces together, you still need a defensive line coach. Because your only defensive guys right now, Paul Rhodes, defensive coordinator, / linebackers coach, Demetrius Martin. So you need safeties coach and a defensive line coach.
I would caution, too, about penciling him into that linebacker role. He doesn't have a ton of linebacker experience. And we've already been down this road, no pun intended, with Marcel Yates, with John Rushing, where they didn't have extensive linebacker experience either. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he could end up coaching safeties. If you're going to run a 3-4 type of scheme, you might need two linebackers coaches. Hank Hobson's in play. I think Jeremy Springer conceivably could shift over to that kind of role or split his time. Since he was a linebacker, that was the position he played. You've already got DeMarco Murray basically coaching the return men, right? Yeah. We saw that in the practices. So there's a lot of things you can do. But I think the defensive line coach is the next, like, really important hire for them. Mm-hmm. Because they need to develop the guys they have, and they need to bring in more.
So those are the next steps for Arizona. Lev, real quick before we get out of here, Arizona did sign 12 guys for the early signing period. Out of all the prospects they signed, which one are you most excited to watch play?
Yeah, Will Plummer, the quarterback. Asked Coach Sumlin about him. And the first thing he mentioned was, like, before he became the full-time quarterback, his brother preceded him in that role. Like, he played other positions, tight end, linebacker, safety, special teams. So he's really tough, competitive, really good athlete, and man, he's got a great arm. Like, he can make some, I really, really hate to make this comparison, but he can make some Aaron Rodgers like throws,
back of his
just
heels.
In terms of, the way he contorts his body and is still able to get a lot of juice on the ball. That being said, when I asked Coach Sumlin about the quarterback competition and heading into spring, he kind of said, like, Grant Gunnell's number one right now. Like, he's the leader in the clubhouse, and everyone else is playing catch-up, which I thought was kind of interesting. Usually, in that situation, the coach will say, oh, it's an open competition, you know, everything starts over. However, that's not the way that Kevin Sumlin laid it out. So, that to me, that, you know, now that there will be two big plot lines, I feel like, heading into spring ball. The defense, what does it look like? How does it shape up? Which guys, who are they adding to the mix? How much better can they get? And, of course, the quarterback situation. You know, is Grant Gunnell clearly the number one guy? Is he going to hold off the competition? Is Kevin Doyle going to get a legitimate shot at this thing?
Yeah.
You know, who's been kind of like, I mean, it was kind of a big deal. Remember when he was recruited?
He was Washington, D.C.
first place?
Gatorade Player of the Year.
And I mean, and played against a lot of really good competition in high school, and he's been just kind of quiet since he's been here. I think, you know, him getting hurt this last summer was a big setback for him. Remember, he missed a lot of time in training camp because of the shoulder. But, yeah, do you have a choice besides Will Plummer most intriguing newcomer?
We kind of already talked about him, Reagan Terry, defensive end. I mean, he's really going to make an impact for Arizona. But one guy who I think is going to get significant playing time, maybe as a freshman, is Missouri offensive lineman Josh Baker.
Interesting.
He's moved all around the offensive line. He played some tackle this past year at his high school, Eureka High School in Missouri. But he's known for mostly playing guard and center. And you look at his frame, he's like 6'3", 280 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, he is made to play college football right now. And he's from Missouri. He's got, you know, farm boy strength. He's tough. He's gritty. So, and with Arizona really hurting on the front line on both ends, you know, you saw especially later in the season when McCauley went down, when Creason went down, you know, everybody was dropping like flies on the offensive line. They had to go to, you know, walk-ons. No offense to John Jacobs, but, you know, you could tell Arizona really struggled on the offensive line. I think Josh Baker adds depth.
Yeah, I think long-term that they're going to groom him to be the successor at center to Josh McCauley, but I could definitely see him being in the mix at guard right off the bat. It's interesting. I asked, what positions do you need the most of Kevin Sumlin? He said the fronts on both sides.
Both sides.
So he's clearly still focusing on that area. But as I said earlier, I think they need linebackers and safeties too.
Absolutely. So Arizona signed 12. They're still looking to add some guys before National Signing Day in the spring. But we'll get to that in the future. But for now, Arizona signed 12 for their 2020 recruiting class. And most importantly, they find their new defensive coordinator, Paul Rhodes. So those are the first steps for Arizona's 2020 year, and it should be interesting to see what they do moving forward. So that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Our numbers did great this year, Lev, especially in the latter part of the year. So our numbers are doing great.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for downloading.
Thank you. So make sure you subscribe, rate, review, share it to all your friends. Download the Wildcaster app. It's free and available on the App Store, Google Play. And also make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. For Lev, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.